by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
A woman by the name of Rose Crawford was blind. She was born blind, and she was blind for the first 50 years of her life. And then at age 50, she had an amazing operation at a hospital in Ontario, Canada, that allowed her to see for the very first time. I want you to imagine this woman who was completely unable to see anything, not even glimpses of light, checking into a hospital, wondering what things would be like. And then after that surgery and after that recovery, they were able to remove the bandages. And in those moments, Rose was able to see light, she was able to see form, and she was able to see color for the very first time. Imagine how astonishing that would be. How amazing her story. And yet reality is that 20 years of that blindness was actually unnecessary. The procedure that was performed could have been done 20 years earlier. She simply was unaware. She just figured there was nothing that could be done for her condition. She said, "If only I had known, my life would have been different." Because of this miraculous surgery, Rose Crawford's world moved from darkness to light. Is that not the same for those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Walking in darkness, many who come to Christ later in life will say, "If only I had known Christ earlier, how my life may have been different." You see, the scriptures tell us that before we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are enslaved in darkness. We are blind to the things that are spiritual. We are blind to the truth of God's word. But when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that power of darkness is broken. And in amazing moments, we are brought into the lightness of His kingdom. The only problem is, as seeing would have been an adjustment for Rose Crawford, walking in light is sometimes a great adjustment for believers in Jesus. Sometimes the dark is so comfortable and so familiar, it's easy to gravitate back. It's sad, really, that many who profess to know Christ, to walk in His light, how they continue to dabble in the darkness of sin. We live in a day where there are no moral absolutes. Many people today believe that truth is relative. That means you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, and there's really no absolute authority that says this is the way it is. Our society thinks that truth is what we want it to be. Should be no surprise to us that our society has lost its moral compass. And yet, the Apostle John reveals that the same problems occurred all the way back when he wrote his first epistle. And today I want to take you to 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 1. We're going to be here just today. I want to tell you that beginning next Sunday, we are going to be starting a study in the Gospel of John. It's amazing. When I think back over 10 years of preaching, in a meeting with our PLWG, it was revealed that never in 10 years have I preached through a gospel book. I've preached through many books, book after book, but I've never preached through one of the Gospels. And starting next Sunday, we're going to be going through the Gospel of John. And some people will be saying, oh, we're still in John. And we will be in John until John is done. Trust that we will learn a lot about Jesus and a lot about who he is along that journey. But today I want to take you to 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And this is what John says. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, I want you just, before I go any farther, I want you to take a moment. Having read those words, I want you to just take a moment and silently bow your head, talk to God, and ask him what he wants you to learn today. Prepare your heart. Now here in our text, the Apostle John is talking about light and darkness. And really, we have two options as believers. If we are following the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we really have two options. We can either walk in light or we can walk in darkness. And I'm going to show us today why it is that we need to be walking in light. In our text, John presents several truths. And he also deals with some misconceptions. And that is the way that I have structured this message today. If you would take your outline that is in your bulletin and you would look at it, you will find that there are three truths. One truth and then followed by a misconception. And that is the way in which we're going to deal with this message. And so today as we look, we begin by looking at truth number one from our text. And truth number one says, God is light, and there is no darkness in him. John says, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. What does that mean? Well, sometimes the scriptures refer to light as holiness are as characteristics of God who is light, and sometimes the scriptures refer to darkness as things that are unholy and contrary to God, and that is what he is doing here. God is light. In him there is no darkness. The characteristics of God we know. God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. God is completely without sin. And John says, there is no darkness at all. No sin at all. Now, misconception number one. Misconception number one is, you can walk in the light and continue to practice habitual sin. I hear people tell me all the time, it doesn't matter. But it does. John says, if we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we are liars and we do not walk in the truth. That word if is kind of a supposition. And in reality, it says, suppose, if you will, that there are those that say I have a relationship with God but continue walking in sin. They continue walking and living their lives in darkness. This is a persistent, willful bent to be sinning and a complete disregard and rejection of God. John is saying, how can these people be walking in light with a God who is holy? John says, if we take the position that we can go on walking in darkness, we are liars and we are not practicing the truth. What John is saying is that we cannot continually and habitually tolerate sin in our own lives and claim to be a follower of Jesus. When a person says that they know Christ as their Savior, yet continually and habitually live as an unbeliever, John says, the truth is not in them. Let's look at the second truth. Truth number two. When we walk in the light, we experience fellowship and forgiveness. In verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, that is fellowship with God and with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. Now, in contrast to those who walk in darkness, those who walk in light experience God's presence in their day-to-day lives. That means the general pattern for their lives is that their day-to-day actions, their day-to-day attitudes reflect that they have a relationship with Jesus, that they are walking in his light. Remember, we are not children of darkness. We are children of light. And my friends, we have no excuse to walk in darkness. And so then it is false to believe that Christians can go on living in habitual sin. God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous, and he does not have fellowship with sin. Now, does that mean if I am a believer and I fall by the wayside and I stop living for God and I do this little temper tantrum and walk away from God and I ignore him, that immediately, if anything happens to me, I'm going to end up in hell? I don't believe so. I think God is so patient. God persistently draws and woos that person back to a place of repentance that God will do everything possible to draw that person back. God is persistent in he does not desire that any should perish. He is not saying, oh, they're out, they're out, oh, they're out. That is not who God is. But I believe that we should be warned that as believers in Jesus Christ, we must not make light of God's grace, but rather we need to strive to walk as children of light and not be reckless in the way that we live. When we talk to children about at Good News Club, at day camp, or wherever, about heaven, one of the things we always say to them is, what's one thing that will never be in heaven? The answer? Sin. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that means our sin needs to be dealt with. Now, if we know Christ as our Savior, our sin is covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. John says the blood of Jesus cleanses us. It covers our sin. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He looks at us through the blood of his son Jesus. And that's really what makes us acceptable to have fellowship with him. It's not like one day we say, okay, I'm going to pray that prayer and I'm going to be a Christian now. And now God will accept me. Yes, he will accept me. But he doesn't accept us because we all of a sudden became these good little people that go to church every Sunday. what he accepts us upon is the fact that the blood of his son covers our sin. That's where the acceptance comes from. Now, my friends, that doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to walk in light. That doesn't mean that we can continue to walk in darkness. The Apostle Paul says, should I sin that grace may abound, may it never be. It means that we should seek to strive to walk in that light, to live as children of light, to be holy in all that we do, even as he is holy. And be aware that sin in our lives will always hinder our fellowship. Think about this. When Adam and Eve, they experienced perfect fellowship with God. When Adam and Eve sinned, what's the first thing they did? They hid. Those of you that raise children or grandchildren, when your child does something that they were not supposed to do, what do they try to do first? Hide it. They'll go crawl under a chair if they're going to get in trouble. Seriously, that's what they do. Unfortunately, as big kids sometimes, we think that we can sin and we can hide it from God. And yet God sees all. In 1 John 3, it says this, 1 John 3:19 and 20, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. My friends, if we are walking in the light, we don't need to feel guilty. And when we are not walking in the light, we will feel that guilt, and we will turn ourselves away from God. Every once in a while, somebody will say to me, I feel so far away from God. And I'll say, who moved, you or God? It's usually the case that we sometimes drift away from him, but he never draws away from us. But it is important that we are walking in light, that we can experience that fellowship. Misconception number two says, we can walk in the light and deny our sin. You see, we can't deny our sin. In verse 8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. When we seek to deny our own sin, we are deceivers. We are deceivers of ourselves. Rather, if we are going to walk in light, we must deal with sin, because light exposes sin. In Ephesians 4:13, it says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and his Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, this Holy Spirit begins to reveal all those things about us that do not resemble Jesus. And if we are surrendering our will to him, we are allowing him to transform our hearts, to change us from the inside out, to make us into the person that he wants us to be. And I know that what that looks like. Sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Sometimes it's like a game of chutes and ladders, ups and downs. You know, we might be growing and then we kind of like bottom out a little bit. And then we grow again and we bottom out a little bit. And that's kind of what a lot of people's journey in faith looks like. But my friends, as the light reveals that sin, when the light reveals those dark tendencies, we must deal with it rather than say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. Or by blaming somebody else, making excuses for walking in darkness. We can always find somebody to say we're better off than, right? No matter what I'm doing. I can choose to sin, and sin is a choice. I can choose to sin, and I can always seek to justify my sin by saying, oh, well, I'm not as bad as that person over there. Take a look at them. But who are we to compare ourselves to? Who should we be comparing ourselves to? Come on. Jesus. That's the standard. That's the one that we need to compare ourselves to. And then we pretty soon find out that we fall short. But thank God for truth number three. Truth number three says this, that when we confess our sin, we are forgiven and purified. Now, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you placed your faith in Him, at that moment, you were forgiven for your sin, past, present, and even future. And yet, when we go on and we sin, in order to experience true fellowship with God, we need to confess that sin. And in First John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive our sin, and He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. You see, there's one solution for sin. It's not hiding it. It's confessing it. It's confessing it before God. It's asking for forgiveness with the belief and the promise that the blood of Jesus has the power to forgive and to cleanse from that sin. My friends, every one of us will fall short. Every one of us, in some way or another, will choose to sin. Aren't you glad that there's a solution? That we can come before God and we can ask for forgiveness, and we don't need to walk away from that moment and say, gee, I wonder if God forgave me. But we know, on the authority of God's word, that we are forgiven. Not only does He forgive us, but He cleanses us from all of that unrighteousness. The final misconception is this. Misconception three, we can walk in the light and disregard His word. John says in verse 10, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. That phrase, we have not sinned, sounds pretty modern, doesn't it? Aren't there a lot of people in our world that have somehow made sin more palatable? You know, think about it, how we talk about things. We say a lie is bending the truth. Don't we? We say that. They bent the truth a little bit. Or stealing might be borrowing with no intent to return. We'll say losing control of one's anger is simply losing their cool. Sounds good, doesn't it? But sin is still sin. Instead of looking at sin and trying to make sin more acceptable, we must look at sin in light of God's word. If we want to walk in the light as He is in the light, then we need to cease from rationalizing sin, finding excuses for our sin. We need to cease from denying our sin. And we need to seek to obey God's word. Now I need to share a testimony here. There was a time many years ago that I was walking very close to God, and some things happened in my church, some things happened in my own personal life, and I decided to walk away from God's calling. And I very intentionally decided that I was not going to do this ministry thing. I bring that up because I want you to know that I was on a mission to get away from God. And seriously, now, the reason I want to bring this up is I was not walking in light. I was walking in darkness. There was not one day in those years that I did not look at this mug in the mirror and feel guilt, feel remorse. Know that the Holy Spirit was saying, "What are you doing?" And yet I chose to continue to resist. If I had died at any moment during those years, do I believe I would have ended up in heaven? Yes. Yes, I do. And one day, God decided he was going to get my attention. And I came to a place in my life where I realized that I was that close from standing before God. And my friends, it was horrific. It was conviction like I've never experienced in my life. But I want to tell you something. When I confessed that sin, when I stopped making excuses and saying, it's their fault, it's her fault, it's this person's fault, it's that circumstance, when I stopped making excuses, and I said, God, it's me. It's me. Guess what God did? God wrapped his arms around me. God loved me. God renewed a calling in my life. God opened doors, made a path. Those days that were those brick walls of anger and disappointment and frustration, when those walls fell, God was so close. God was so close. He became so close and so real in my life because God does not have fellowship with sin. You cannot walk in darkness and experience the wonderful fellowship that God has. Have there been days that I've sinned since then? Obviously. But when we confess our sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. God wants to walk in sweet and wonderful fellowship with every one of you. God wants to walk with you in the same way he walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in perfect harmony and fellowship. There's only one thing stopping him. Our sin. Final three questions, and here they come. Are you walking in darkness or in the light? Let me say this. If you have never came to a place where you admit you're a sinner, and you are in need of God's grace, you are walking in darkness. Your best efforts to live an acceptable life before God are nothing more than filthy rags. The first thing that you need to do is confess your sin before God and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to a cross and the one who paid the penalty for your sin as your substitute. Because, my friends, every one of us deserves to hang there. Every one of us deserved that death. Placing your faith in him as your substitute. But perhaps you know him already as Savior, but you're not walking in the light. You're dabbling in sin. My friends, there is no place that dark and light can coexist together. Question number two, how would you describe your fellowship with God? Are you hiding behind the bush? Are you hiding under a table? Have you sewed fig leaves together to cover your sin? Are you confessing your sin? Saying, God, okay, it's no longer somebody else's fault. It's mine. I need your forgiveness, Lord. I need you to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. I want to walk in your light, Lord, because you are holy, and I want to be holy just like you. Third question, how might you improve your fellowship with God? Confession, acceptance, and a desire to walk in that light, in a desire to walk in that newness of life that He wants to give us. This morning we have a privilege. We observe the Lord's Supper together. My friends, this is not a ritual. This is something that we do that reflects our hearts. It is a time where we experience fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. But guess what can destroy that fellowship? Sin. And so this is a place in our lives, in the life of a church, where we come and we examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we ought to examine ourselves. We need to examine our relationship with God. We need to examine our relationships with one another. We need to deal with that darkness of sin. We need to be able to walk in that light and able to fully experience the joy and the fellowship of communing with Jesus. Paul warns that whoever eats or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And so he says, we need to examine ourselves. I want you to take a moment now. I want you to bow your heart, bow your heads. In the quietness, I want you just to think about your life. Think about the light. Think about the darkness. And I would encourage you to confess that sin, to wave that white flag, if you will, and say, Lord, it's not so-and-so, it's not you, it's me. I need your forgiveness. Take a moment and confess those sins before God. Our loving Father, we gather before you as those who have experienced forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that as we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just, and that you will forgive our sin. And Lord, that you purify us from all of our unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, that even though it is we who deserved to be beaten, spit upon, and crucified, and ultimately die for the penalty of sin, that you sent Jesus to take our place. Father, thank you for Jesus. Help us, Father, to walk in light, to live in that light, to experience wonderful and sweet fellowship with you and your Son. And because we walk with you, we have fellowship with one another as well. Father, forgive us when we fail to live according to your righteous standard. Forgive us when we choose to sin against you, when we choose to sin against others. Help us, Father, to be sensitive to sin, to be repulsed at it, just as you are, Father. We desire to walk in fellowship with you and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, even as we confess our sin this day. And we pray this in our Savior's name, who taught us to pray together, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.